Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 342, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 1, 3, and 4 of 342. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. There will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lead your beasts and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, and for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See, in that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, and the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, It is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty and all-sufficient Lord, Thou who dost govern all things to the good of Thy church, all things in the way of Thy providence, Thou who dost govern all that are in the heavens and all that are in the earth, that Thou may bring Thy people to magnify and to glorify Thee. We may read of that wonder that Thou didst perform so many years ago in the history of Thy nation, that it may be for instruction also for us and for our dear children. But Lord, Thou knowest our hearts and all that they contain. We are so very ignorant and foolish. Then it is necessary that Thou dost open Thy word, that Thou dost give to us light and wisdom and understanding, that Thou may show to us the meaning of Thy Holy Spirit, and that we may see therein what Thou dost say unto Thy people, as they are traveling here below unto that city that has foundations. The disappointments in the life of thy church, they are so very many. The sorrows do multiply continually, but thou art over everything. Thou hast an end, thou hast a purpose. Therefore, that thou dost lead each and every one of thy people. For a sorrow may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Then the way can be so long, even as it was in the life of a Jacob. And the sorrows, they can be so great, so that it is thought that we will be brought thereby, even unto the grave. But thy wisdom that is so far above, and thy thoughts, they are not the thoughts of thy church, but they are so much higher. Oh, that thou may give then thy children to so be humble that they might follow thee in all the way wherein that thou dost lead them, and that they may submit themselves to thy leading and to thy direction, and that thou may lead them, even that they may be but clay in thy holy fingers, and that thou may do with them according to thy holy will, and that they may be brought also to so rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, and that thou may show to them that it is that they would not come into poverty, that they may receive those eternal riches that are laid away for a sinful people. Lord, remember each and every one of thy true church. Oh, gather us, Lord. Do gather us into that number, each and every one of us, young and old, great and small. Then we are so unworthy of the least of all thy notice or attention. But wilt thou do it for thy name's sake? Oh, that there is a people, they will glorify thee therefore. Remember all the congregation, that thou may bring in old ones that have hearts that are as hard as the nether millstone. Oh, that they must say, the older, the colder, and they cannot break that hard and that stony heart. But they have heard their life long what is necessary. Oh, what a wonder when thou wouldst come, and when thou wouldst grant that hard heart to so melt, that their knees may in their stiffness be given to bend, and that they may be brought so low before thee, when they may experience that the God of the heavens and of the earth does condescend to have dealings with such a one as they are. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one, for we cannot miss this blessing, but show this unto us when we are traveling for our own account, and when our religion is but a form and a custom, and when we do not dare to stay away, because our conscience will speak unto us. Oh, could it please thee then in this afternoon hour to plant the love of God in our hearts, that there may not be only a driving of the conscience, but that there may also be the drawing of the Spirit of the Lord, and that we may come indeed with weeping and with supplications, young and old, all of us together. Lord, that thou may look upon the youth and the children of the congregation, And wilt thou supply for them day by day in all the needs and cares in their education? Wilt thou supply for all that do instruct them? And wilt thou bless and sanctify it for the good of the body and the mind and the soul together? Do remember all parents in the great responsibility that lies upon us. For we are negligent. Oh Lord, give us faithfulness. Give us wisdom because we are ignorant. And the devices of Satan, they are increasing and changing. And we know not so often what is upon us until that it is overcoming us. But wilt thou grant us to be faithful and diligent and watchful, and that we may know how to go forward, to lead and to set an example before our children. That thou may give us wisdom also as office bearers, as in instructing in catechism and confession classes. Week by week, oh, bless those labors, and give that we may feel something continually. That thou art in the midst of us as one that serveth. Remember our nations and all that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou give true conversion, that the dealings of thee in the midst of this world may be heard by them, and that they may be brought also to supplicate for all thy help, and that thou may lead us back again to thy word and to thy testimonies. Remember all thy truly sent servants. Wilt thou increase their number here below, and wilt thou give them to be taught from above in that way wherein thou leadest all of thy children. Oh, that we may receive wisdom, Lord. And that we may receive guidance, and that we may know how to bring it, and that it may not be a strange language unto thy true people, and that it may be for the making of jealous in the midst of the congregation. That thou may grant thy servants that do labor in this area, also in this day, the help that is necessary from above. And wilt thou look upon all of the families of office bearers, that thou may strengthen the wives and the children also to give themselves for this labor. And Lord, could it please thee to bless the labors of our hands as a consistory in the midst of this our flock. Be with our brother elder who will travel in the day of tomorrow and back again with his brother in this week in the labors of their hands. And all those that may travel to and fro in this world, give traveling mercies in this season also that lies before us. And may thou cause our hearts to understand that we are travelers and pilgrims here below. Be with us this afternoon. Oh Lord, could it please thee to make it a special day? Oh, thou alone can do so, and it will be so, when thy word will only have a little place in our hearts. Oh, when it will have a place in the heart of this one or that one in the midst of us in this afternoon, that thou may strike the hearts, that thou may instruct the hearts, that thou may lead the hearts, and that thou may receive all the glory. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 297, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord. For he is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 297. Congregation, last week we mentioned something of the great work of Joseph when he has had dealings with his brethren, and the place that Joseph did bring them. What a great difference between those brothers the first time that they have appeared before Joseph and the last time that they have appeared before him. The first time, then we read that they said, "We are just men." Is that something that they meant? Indeed, it is. That accusation that Joseph did bring against him, then they said no, that accusation is not true. What did Joseph say? He said, "Ye are spies, that you have come here only that you may search out the land." And this, those brothers, with a good and quiet conscience, may say that this was indeed not their purpose. But we heard also that there was something that in their explanation to Joseph that they had to say. That is, that they have explained that they were 10 brethren, and that the youngest of their brethren was still with their father, and that one is not. Those brothers, they must have been so glad that Joseph had not continued to inquire what they meant by those few words, "And one is not," because there was so much that was behind those few words that those brethren had no desire to speak about. Yes, in his wisdom, Joseph is quiet, and he does not press his brethren at this moment. But in the life of God's church, there is not a single stone that the Spirit of the Lord is leaving unturned when he is examining and showing to the people what is lying in their heart. Thus he says nothing, but Joseph is leading them further, step by step, until indeed they are not true men anymore. That is what we hear later, that they confess to him, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants." But in uncovering, did the Lord ever uncover us so? Because that is not what we do. It is not what they did. It is not the place they desired to come. But it is the work of the Lord. And as Joseph, The Lord is working with His Spirit even to uncover everything in the life of His children. But there comes also an end to it. And what does Joseph do when he comes to an end of that work? Then he reveals himself. That is what we read together. Then he says to his brethren, "I am Joseph." Then he reveals himself as their Savior who was sent from God. Sent from God in order to deliver them from poverty, in order to deliver them from famine, in order to deliver them from death. And so the Lord, He is saving His church by a wonder of free and sovereign grace. We have heard that same working in our catechism, when we have heard by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. We have heard how that the Lord is bringing that people into their great need. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? But then, then the Lord is also revealing Himself. And so our fathers also speak of it in Lord's Day 6. Lord's Day 6, questions 16 through 19. And we read in this Lord's Day the revelation of the only mediator between God and His church. In the first place, the characteristics which are revealed, that is, in question 16 and 17. Question 16, why must He be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must He in one person be also very God? Answer, that He might, by the power of His Godhead, sustain in His human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God Himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly, has fulfilled it by His only begotten Son. Thus the revelation of the only mediator between God and His church. First, the characteristics which are revealed. We heard that in questions 16 and 17. Second, the person who is revealed, that is in question 18. Who then is that mediator? And last, the means by which He is revealed. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Why? So that concerned soul, he is seeking that he may understand the mysteries of the Lord's salvation. Do we do that also, congregation? Do we do that also to seek to understand the mysteries of the salvation of the Lord? Or is all of what we read in that catechism, is that all to us but a dry doctrine that when we go from the house of the Lord, then we are glad that catechism preaching, that is finished? Or do you ever see something of the preciousness in that doctrine? Because if that doctrine may be experienced by us, and then that doctrine also becomes so very precious to our soul. Luther, he said, doctrine is heaven. That is, when doctrine may be experienced in our soul. Why? Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. There is nothing that such a convicted, a convinced soul wants to know more than what are the requirements of the justice of God. And why? Or if we have been summoned to appear tomorrow before the court in this world, then it would be our interest to know what are the requirements of justice. And there is a people who have been summoned and who know and that they soon have to appear before the judgment seat of God. And then it is necessary, it is in their interest, that they would know what that justice of God requires. Our catechism in this Lord's Day speaks about substitution. And that whole doctrine of substitution that is being rejected in our modern, in our superficial times. No, they say, the Lord Jesus, he is just an example. He was a good example that we have to follow in this life. Congregation, it is a rejection. It is a denial of the fallen state of man. As if man, he is able to save himself just by following an example, a good example in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a denial that man has fallen dead, completely dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, to deny the actual, to deny the real atonement of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to deny that true church, that afflicted, that poor people, that is to deny them the real, that true comfort that is given unto them from above. There is a good reason that every year again that we are commemorating Christmas. And why? Because Christmas, that is the commemoration of the incarnation of the Son of God. And this incarnation That is one of the requirements of the justice of God, that that mediator would become a man. And why? By Ezekiel, the Lord says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Thus the blood of bulls and goats are not able to take away the sin of man. Why? Because they are not men. Or how is it possible that God should require of another creature, that He should require of the angels, that He should require of the beasts, that they should pay the price of that sin of man? Or how is it possible that God should accept a price that is paid by others for a man who has sinned? Or why is it necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ would become a man? Because it was the word of God. Oh, let God be true. Let every man be a liar. But the Lord has from the very beginning, then He has shown that He has promised that this would be one who would be taken from among His people. Thus, that Messiah we read, he shall grow up as a tender plant. There will be no form nor comeliness. He will be despised. He will be rejected of men. He will be a man of sorrows. He will be acquainted with grief. If all of this is to come to pass, then he must be in our human nature. Or he must become a man. Why? What does the apostle say? He says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Or he was before the incarnation only a divine person. He was not a human person. And the divine nature is not able to suffer. And therefore it was so necessary that he would become a man, that he would be born in a manger, in a stable in this world. Then it was necessary that he would be wounded for the transgressions of his church, that he would be bruised for her iniquities, that he would be chastised for her peace, that his soul should be made an offering for her sin. Or he must become a man. And why? Oh, that he may be the comfort of his people. How was that when Israel, they came in the wilderness to that awful mount, and the Lord came down with his majesty, and then that people, they have pleaded with Moses, speak thou unto us, but let not the Lord speak unto us, lest we die. Then the people, they have pleaded that they would not come face to face with the holiness and the majesty, the great majesty of God, and His wrath that was against all their iniquity. And so Moses was there in a type of him who would become a man, and that he may speak unto his church, and that his church may have in him an high priest who could be touched with the feelings of their infirmities, who was tempted in all points like as they are, and yet without sin, or who would not be ashamed to be called their brother, who would be able to succor them that are tempted. Why? Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? One who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Thus, not only very man, but also perfectly righteous. What is that? That is to be right with that law of God, that he would be no transgressor. Oh, that was the type that the children of Israel had day by day and year by year in that sacrificial lamb, that it was to be a lamb that was without blemish. Oh, the priests also, they were types of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how alone could they be a type? They could only be a type when first they would sacrifice for themselves. That is, that when they would approach unto God, they would themselves be free from all guilt and from all blemish. Why? Because one who is a sinner is not able to sacrifice for others. That human nature that had to come into that same person as the divine nature. That is, that he had to be divine and human in one person. Thus, how close. Then it is not two persons. And it is not even as the marriage is there that two they become one. But it is in the very person himself, two natures dwelling together in one person. Thus, how close is the union between those two persons, those two natures in one person? And thus, that human nature that had to be so perfect that it would be able to dwell in one person with that divine nature. Oh, he must be man, and he must be perfectly righteous. And why perfectly righteous? Oh, man, that the children of the Lord may approach unto him, but perfectly righteous. Why? Oh, that he himself would be able to approach unto God. Oh, that is impossible if he is not perfectly righteous, because God is holy. How did the high priest in the Old Testament have to approach unto God? He not only needed to sacrifice for himself, that he may be without guilt, but he also had to sanctify himself, that he would be without pollution, because God is holy and he can only approach in such a way when he will be a type of that blessed mediator, very man, and also perfectly righteous. And still it is not enough. That mediator, we read, he must also be very God. Why must he in one person be also very God? That he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. All to sustain, the burden of God's wrath. Congregation, there are many, they shall begin to bear the burden of the wrath of God. It shall be born. It shall be born in the body. It shall be born in the soul. But they shall never come out of it. That is impossible to come out of. Oh, shall we bear the burden of the wrath of God forever? Ever and forever. The justice of God can never be fully satisfied by a man who will bear the burden of his wrath to all eternity. And why not? It is because of his own infinity. Because of his own infinity, it is because of him against whom we have sinned. It is because of his nature. And because he is infinite, then that punishment that also must be infinite. What is now infinite about you and me? There is only one thing about you and I which is infinite, and that is our endurance. Our endurance. That is that we will continue forever and forever. Yes, for a little while we will sleep, but then we will rise again. And this body and this soul of you and I that will endure through all eternity. We are not as the animals. That is the infinity of man. It is eternity. The infinity of time. And that is necessary in that punishment than to endure it forever and forever, that it may be a punishment that may fit the crime against him who is infinite. But now if it may be the Son of God, or if that mediator, if he may be God himself, then he is infinite in another way. He is infinite in his very nature. He is infinite in his being. And because he is infinite in his being, then it is not necessary that the infinity that is born out with respect to time. No, then it is possible that in a very short time that he is giving an infinite value unto his sufferings. Oh, that is the reason why if he will ever come out of the sufferings, then it must be God himself, that he might sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath and might obtain for, that is what man could never do, to obtain anything when it will last to all eternity, to obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Thus, very man and perfectly righteous and very God. Those are the requirements of a mediator between God and man. And there can be nothing that is missing. How strict congregation are the requirements. Oh, how strict is the justice of God. How unchangeable are the attributes of the Lord. That is experienced by his people. Nor would they have it any different. Why? Because that is a God whom they have come to love. And if they have come to love that God as he is, then they would have him not to change his attributes. But if they have come to love him, then they also desire to be united to him, to be reconciled unto him. And therefore we hear that next question. And what is that question? We see that in our second thought when that person of that mediator is revealed, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? We read in the book of Genesis of a young man, and he says, "My father, here am I, my son." And then that young man, he asks his father a question. He says, "Father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" He missed the children. He saw when they were going that there was that wood, and there was that fire. But then he realized something. There is something missing. The lamb. And then he knew they were to go to worship the Lord. They were to go to sacrifice unto the Lord. How is it now possible that we can appear before the Lord? How is it now possible that we can worship the Lord and we have not a sacrifice? Is there congregation such a young man in our midst that does say, "Oh, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Oh, there are so many of God's true people that in the standing of their life, they are missing that lamb for a burnt offering. Oh, clearly they see something that is the fire of the wrath of God. Clearly they see something that is the sin for which that wrath of God will burn. But now that lamb, all that mediator, he is not yet revealed to their soul. Who then is that mediator? That is their question. No, that is not the question of their intellect. That is not the question of their mind that they have been instructed in from their youth unto this day. But it is the question of their soul. Who then is that mediator? No, these are not those who are able to claim anything for themselves before the Lord. Oh, they are not those whom we dare to say even perhaps are the true people of the Lord. Because before that mediator is revealed, then it is still possible that it goes two ways. There was both a Christian and a pliable. They have come out of that city of destruction. But pliable, he has never come unto that wicked gate. Oh, then he has never seen what Christian may one day see. And then he has never heard of a Christian may one day hear, "I am the door." No, he has turned himself back, though everything seemed to be so well with him. But it is the Lord. Even through all the discouragements, it is the Lord who does give his child to cleave. And later on, then it is going to become evident that this is the work of the Lord. But that is later. Who then is that mediator? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We read of a man in the Bible who was born blind. And he also received such a gift, such a blessing from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he opened his eyes. And later, he found him in the temple. And the Lord Jesus asked him a question. He says, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" And what did he answer? He said, "Who is he, Lord? Who is he that I might believe on him?" Oh, that is now still the place of so many who have had their eyes opened by the Lord for their wretched state, for their wretched condition without God in this world. Who is he that I might believe on him? Oh, that is a people that still wait for that person of that mediator to be revealed to their soul. That is a people, they are still waiting for that way to go open in the sea. That is that people that have not yet experienced that Christmas in their own soul. Oh, with the daughters of Jerusalem, and they are asking that bride, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved?" They do not understand why that bride, oh, that she loves that beloved more than another. They do not see that same beauty in him. Oh, that Son of Righteousness. He is not yet risen in their soul with healing in his wings. That is a people. They have so little direction. Bunyan, he says, he looked this way and that way as if he would run, and yet he stood still. Why? Because he did not know which way to go. But there comes a time that the Lord brings him in at that wicket gate, and then how different, oh, how different it becomes. Who then is that mediator who is in one person, both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there comes a day. There comes a day that the bowels of Joseph, and they are yearning so upon his brethren, as we have read it, and that he is no longer able to refrain himself. Oh, in their distress, then he desires with all his heart that he may reveal himself, that he may show himself unto his brethren. And he sends all men out from him. Then it is going to be just between Joseph and his brothers. Oh, that is going to be such a personal matter. And it is, congregation, a personal matter, even when it happens in the house of the Lord, where it is often happening in the life of the people under the preaching of that holy word of God. Oh, then it is as if there is no one sitting around me. And then that word of God that is brought so into my soul. And there that greater Joseph, he reveals himself. He says, "I am Joseph." Oh, to that blind man, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Oh, it is he that speaketh with thee. That Samaritan woman, oh, I know that the Messiah cometh, and when he cometh, he will teach us all things. I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, who then? Who then is that mediator? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a moment, congregation, that a man does not forget. Did Joseph's brothers forget this moment in their life? What do you think, children? Could they forget this moment? Oh, could that man born blind forget that moment? Could that Samaritan woman forget that moment? No, a person may not know. They may not know that moment that the Lord has drawn them out of this world. They may not know that moment of that new birth. We do not know. We do not remember when we're born either. But this moment, or when Simon Peter, when he heard John the Baptist, when he has proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God," oh, then we can read written that it was about the 10th hour. Who then is that mediator? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, is there now a people in our midst that are able to tell what has happened in that 10th hour, in that unforgettable hour of your life? Oh, that hour, and that the Lord Jesus Christ first became precious to your soul as the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that hour when your soul, he has first beheld him as that way that it is possible that you may return unto God. No, it is not the justification. No, it is not the acquittal. That is different. They are the further steps. But it is the hour that that soul receives a direction. It receives a direction in its life on that straight and that narrow way. It is that hour that Christ, he becomes everything to that soul. He has made unto us, we read, wisdom and just righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Can they understand it all? Can they enter into all of that? Oh, no, they cannot. Far from it. But now they see he is the treasure. Oh, he is the way. And they begin to seek that God whom they have come to love for the first time in their life through him who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Let us sing 264. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, let us sing before the Lord new songs of praise with sweet accord. For wonders great by him are done. His mighty arm has victory won. The first three stanzas of Psalter 264.
Thank you.
our last thought, the means by which he is revealed. Whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it in his only begotten Son from the Holy Gospel, that is, the Good News. The Good News. And what is the Good News? That there is help laid upon one that is mighty. For whom is that good news? Is that good news for you? That there is help laid upon one that is mighty. Oh, that is not good news for the strong. That is not good news for the proud. That is not good news for the self-sufficient. That is not good news as long as that we have our own righteousness before God. But it is good news for some. It is good news for sinners, for publicans and sinners. Oh, it is good news that is revealed by God himself. Oh, did it ever become so to you? Where is it revealed? In the holy word of God. It is not revealed in the world congregation. It cannot be found in nature. And it certainly cannot be found, young people, in the bar and in the movies of this world and what we want to see on the internet and all. That is not where and that this can be found. No, it is revealed in that holy word of God. And it is explained and proclaimed in the preaching of that word. When was that first published? Was that first published when the Lord Jesus came into this world? Oh no. No, no. It was first published 4,000 years before this. Oh, that good news that was necessary already for our first parents. Oh, even before that they were sent out of that garden. It was not without hope. It was not in a way of despair. But the Lord, he has given them to hear that gospel message, that gospel promise, already before that he has sent them out. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That was the gospel revealed unto our first parents. And afterwards, more and more clearly, through the ages, revealed in this world, by way of the patriarchs, by way of the prophets, by way of his servants. There was a time that he has spoken through visions, a time that he has spoken through dreams. Sometimes he came in person. Sometimes it was by an audible voice. Later he represented also that way in visible forms, in the tabernacle, in the priesthood. But what does now Peter say of us, you and I, that we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed? What is it? It is written here in our catechism, and lastly, has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Oh, no time in the history of the world has it been now so clearly made known as we may have it today, wherein the prophecies and the types and the shadows of the entire Old Testament, they are so clearly fulfilled. And then we have not only his character that is revealed, but also his person. Also his name. What a great privilege, is it not? What a great privilege that we may live in our day, as evil as our times are. But it is also a great accountability that many will not have to give, as we will have to give it on that last day. And yet, congregation, the external, the outward revelation of that Son of God is not sufficient. Or it is not yet the internal. It is not yet the personal revelation of that Son of God in the heart, that way of salvation, and we cannot be saved. We cannot be saved with a revelation that is revealed to the entire world in the Holy Scriptures if it is never given unto us in a personal way. And I know there are many that mock at it. Oh, there are so many that mock at it today. They say it is mysticism. They say it is not according to the Word of God. But there were also many that departed. When the Lord Jesus, he said, you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and you must drink his blood. Then many were offended in him, and they left him. Oh, no. No, it needs congregation. Oh, may we stay with that. That blessed doctrine our entire life long. And the revelation is not yet the application. Bunyan showed it. Goodwill. He was asked by Pilgrim after he had come through that gate. He says, can you help me off with the burden upon my back? And he said, no. They are two different things. He said, no. The Lord, he will do this in his own time. Oh, as real as sin becomes in the life of that people, so real does Christ become. And so real does the forgiveness of sin become in their life when they may receive it by a true saving faith. How does it take place? It takes place through that holy word of God. Let us remember this also. It is by word and spirit. Otherwise, then we are led away with all kinds of diverse and strange doctrines. Congregation, what is our estimation of that holy word of God? Oh, is that word now precious unto us? Oh, let us never forsake it. And never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the apostle says, as the manner of some is. Oh, those are the means. These are the means that the Lord is using to awaken his people. These are the means that the Lord is using to instruct his people. Those are the means for the salvation of his church, for the comfort of his church. And if we desire that blessed portion, oh, let us then be busy. Let us then be busy with that word. And let that cry, oh, that cry, let it live in our heart. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me. Do we ask that before we come to that house of God? Oh, remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me. Visit me. The day spring from on high. Visit me with thy salvation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou dost use thy word to grant the true knowledge of sin and to grant the true knowledge of thy only begotten Son. O, give it to be experienced in our hearts, in the midst of us, that over and over again there may be those who may say that they may hear from that word what takes place in their hearts. Oh, remember us all together. Bless thy word. Bring us safely to our homes again this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. And grant thy blessing upon what we may read also in this evening or when we may attend thy house in other places. Be with us in the week to come. O grant us thy keeping and thy care and thy protection, that we may not be led into temptation, but that we may be kept from evil. For Jesus' sake, amen. 124, 1, 2, and 3. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine, my eager tongue, and with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1, 2, and 3 of 124. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee. and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.